Inheritance in Genetics, A-Level Biology Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this A-Level Biology Podcast on inheritance. I'm so excited to dive into this topic with you today because understanding genetic inheritance is absolutely fundamental to biology. And it's one of those topics where everything clicks into place once you grasp the core principles. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to explore how traits pass from parents to offspring, master those all-important genetic diagrams that examiners love to test, and I'll share some insider tips on how to pick up every single mark available in inheritance questions. Whether you're revising for EdExcel A-level biology or just want to understand genetics better, this episode is for you. So grab a pen and paper if you can, because we're about to make inheritance crystal clear. Let's start with the absolute basics, and this is where many students lose marks, so listen carefully. You must distinguish between a gene and an allele. A gene is a section of DNA that codes for a particular characteristic, like eye color. An allele is a specific version of that gene, like blue or brown. Examiners will deduct marks if you write the dominant gene when you should say the dominant allele. It's a small distinction, but it matters enormously in your answers. Now, when we talk about inheritance patterns, we're really talking about predicting ratios. The simplest pattern is monohybrid inheritance. That's when we track just one gene. Let's say we're looking at plant height, where tall is dominant and short is recessive. If both parents are heterozygous, meaning they carry one dominant and one recessive allele, we get that classic 3-to-1 ratio in the offspring. Three tall plants to one short plant. But here's the critical exam technique. You must show you're working using a genetic diagram. Start by defining your symbols. Let's say capital T for tall, lowercase t for short. Write out the parental genotypes. ET crossed with TT. Then, and this is essential, circle the gametes. Each parent can produce T or T gametes. Draw your Punnett square, fill in the offspring genotypes, and clearly state the phenotypic ratio. That's how you secure all the marks. Moving up in complexity, we have dihybrid inheritance tracking two genes simultaneously. This is where that famous 9-3-3-1 ratio comes in. When you cross two heterozygous parents for two different genes, you get 9 offspring showing both dominant traits, 3 showing the first dominant and second recessive, 3 showing the first recessive and second dominant, and 1 showing both recessive traits. But, and this is crucial, you should never just assume a 9-3-3-1 ratio. Examiners love to throw in complications. If your observed data deviates significantly from this ratio, you need to consider autosomal linkage or epistasis. Autosomal linkage occurs when two genes are located on the same chromosome, so they're inherited together unless crossing over separates them. This reduces genetic variation because those alleles travel as a package deal. Now let's talk about sex linkage, because this is where students often make visual errors in their diagrams. Sex-linked traits are carried on the X chromosome, not the Y. Males are hemizygous for X-linked traits, meaning they only have one copy of the X chromosome and its alleles. So if a male inherits a recessive allele on his single X chromosome, he'll express that trait. There's no second X to mask it. This is why conditions like colorblindness and hemophilia are much more common in males. In your genetic diagrams for sex linkage, you absolutely must show the sex chromosomes. Write X and Y clearly, and attach the alleles to the X chromosome using superscript notation, like X to the power of capital A for the dominant allele. Never attach alleles to the Y chromosome for X-linked traits. That's an instant mark deduction. Finally, let's tackle the chi-squared test, because this statistical tool is essential for A-level. The chi-squared test tells you whether the difference between your observed results and expected Mendelian ratios is due to chance or something else, like linkage or epistasis. The formula is chi-squared equals the sum of observed minus expected, all squared, divided by expected for each category. Here's what you must remember. Degrees of freedom equal the number of phenotypic categories minus 1, not the number of individuals, the number of categories. For a typical monohybrid cross with two phenotypes, that's 2 minus 1, giving you 1 degree of freedom. At the p equals 0.05 significance level with 1 degree of freedom, your critical value is 3.84. If your calculated chi-squared value is less than 3.84, you accept the null hypothesis. The difference is due to chance. If it's greater, you reject the null hypothesis. Something other than chance is affecting your results. Right, let's talk exam strategy. I've marked hundreds of genetics papers, and I see the same mistakes over and over again. First mistake, not defining your allele symbols at the start. Always write let A equals the dominant allele for, and let A equals the recessive allele for. This takes 5 seconds and can save you marks. Second mistake, giving ratios when the question asks for probability. If the question says, "What is the probability this offspring will be tall?" your answer must be a fraction or percentage, like 3/4 or 75%, not just the ratio 3:1. Third mistake, calculating degrees of freedom incorrectly for chi-squared. Remember, it's categories minus one, not individuals minus one. I cannot stress this enough. Fourth mistake, forgetting that linkage and epistasis break the normal Mendelian ratios. If you see unusual ratios in a question, explicitly mention these possibilities in your answer. Examiners reward candidates who think beyond the basic patterns. And here's a golden tip. In any genetic diagram question worth 4 marks or more, examiners are looking for clear parental genotypes, circled gametes, a complete Punnett square, and the final ratio or probability. Miss any of these elements and you're leaving marks on the table. Let's test your understanding with some quick-fire questions. Pause after each one and see if you can answer. Question 1. What's the difference between a gene and an allele? Question 2. In a monohybrid cross between two heterozygous parents, what's the expected phenotypic ratio? Question 3. Why are males more likely to express X-linked recessive traits than females? Question 4. What does it mean if your chi-squared value is greater than the critical value at p equals 0.05? Question 5. What is autosomal linkage and how does it affect genetic variation? Take a moment to check your answers. If you got all 5, you're in excellent shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section. All right, let's wrap up. Today we've covered the essential principles of inheritance for A-level biology. Remember to always distinguish genes from alleles. Master your genetic diagram technique with clearly defined symbols and circled gametes. Understand the difference between monohybrid and dehybrid crosses. Recognize sex linkage patterns and the concept of hemizygous males, and apply the chi-square test correctly to evaluate whether your data fits expected Mendelian ratios. Inheritance questions typically carry high marks in A-level biology papers, often 6 to 9 marks for a single question. So mastering this topic is absolutely worth your time. Practice drawing genetic diagrams until they become second nature, memorize those key ratios, and always, always show you're working. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope it's helped clarify inheritance for you and given you the confidence to tackle any genetics question that comes your way. Good luck with your revision, and remember, precision in your terminology and diagrams is what separates good answers from excellent ones. Happy studying!